This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hello, Connect!
Magandang araw na muli sa lahat po ng ating mga tagapakinig na nakaantabay sa ating Tanglaw Connect. Magandang araw po sa inyo. Kumusta ho kayo? Sana ay lagi ninyong nasusubaybayan ang atin pong mga panayam na ginagawa sa ating mga kababayan dito po sa New Zealand. Yung bang naririnig natin ang kanilang mga kwento, ang kanilang mga karanasan na marahil ay nagiging paraan upang masilip natin ang kanilang pamumuhay dito sa bansang ito. At sa araw na ito, mga kaibigan, syempre meron ulit tayong makakasama. Pero iba naman ang kaniyang kwento. Kasi ang kwento naman niya, sila ay matagal na naririto sa New Zealand. Kaya ang makakapanayam natin today, dito na siya halos na lumaki. Oo, so maaaring hindi niya masyadong naranasan ang buhay sa Pilipinas. I-welcome natin sa ating program, walang iba kundi ang anak, panganay na anak ni Pastor Richard De La Fuente at Sister Alice. I-welcome natin to our show, Peter De La Fuente. Peter, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for giving time to this interview. First and foremost, can you tell us about yourself and your family?
So, myself. So, right now, I am working as a laboratory technician at ALS Laboratories. Mm-hmm. And I guess more about myself is I'm really into fitness and nutrition, I guess. That's my main hobbies right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fitness, exercise, health, self-improvement, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
About my family. I'm assuming so. I think my parents grew up as religious and they grew up as a... I think they both initially came up as Catholic and then they converted into Christian, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously they got married and they had me and then I was raised as... evangelical Christian in the Philippines. That was when I was 3, and then we moved to New Zealand, and in New Zealand they continued to raise me as a typical pastor's son, kind of stereotypical way, very strict, very on the you must go to Bible study or not must go, but you always going with them to church. And I guess the stereotypical way of how you'd see a pastor son get raised up as a kid. And then as time went on, I became more, I guess it was more in high school where I was actually conscious about, God might be actually real rather than just a thing that you go to because your parents are just telling you to go to this because it feels good. And then you might feel some kind of spiritual reward when you go to church or something like that. But in high school, that's when I thought that God theology is not just some things like a hobby. It's a thing that you really have to put effort to study. It's something that you have to commit on and have to sacrifice your other things that you like in your life to actually want, I guess, have that drive to know more about God rather than just treating God like a
obligation.
Backup. Yeah, obligation, a backup when things go wrong or just a friend. Because I feel like many people, especially me when I was a kid, just saw God as a friend, not really as God, which is a big problem. Because at that point, you're not really living, you're not really doing it for God, you're doing it just because you're enjoying yourself and you like the company with that friend, right?
There's a difference between treating God just as your friend rather than looking at Him as your God.
Yeah, that's right.
And you had that realization when you were in high school.
High school and maybe 2 years ago. It started in high school, I think, and then it was a very, very, very slow burn. It started up very slowly. There's times where I, you know, I guess didn't prioritize God. I prioritized myself more, but it was more that last year and 2 years ago is when I semi-seriously started taking God kind of seriously. The Bible, especially the Bible more specifically.
Wow.
Because that's, I guess, how you know Jesus. Because anyone can know God, but they don't know what the true God is until you read the Bible.
That's very nice, no? That kind of realization and the thought of having God not just as your friend, but your God, no? It has a deeper meaning when you had that kind of realization. Peter, you mentioned that you were 3 years old when the family came to New Zealand. So you've been here almost all of your life in New Zealand.
Yes, I have. I still know what Jollibee is. I still know what those typical... I don't know why, but the only song I remember as a Philippines when I was a kid was Bon Tarak Tarak. And that's because my mother said she will give me a lollipop if I sang that song for Sunday school. And I sang that song and I was very, very, very happy when I got that lollipop. And I think that's why I still remember that memory. I don't even know what it's even about. I don't know what a tarak is. I just don't know I actually haven't heard the song yet, ever.
Maybe that time that song was really famous in the Philippines.
I think so. I think so.
That's why she heard of it. You still talk Tagalog, right?
I can speak grammatical side words between those big words in Tagalog. Like ano, or like sa, or like
po.
Po. And those small four-letter words in Tagalog.
Okay, so from our Filipino parents, how are they able to introduce to you the Filipino culture in the home?
Food. I think it's one of the best ways to introduce a culture. Like, period, I think. Any culture, I think, especially for me, because that's how I connected with my other Filipino friends. We connected through liking the different Filipino food. Mm-hmm. And we even compared, like, spaghetti here compared to spaghetti in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I don't know the names of some Filipino dishes, but when I try to describe them, then that's when my friends know what it is, and then we search it up in Google and we're like, oh, I know that. And then we start to talk about, oh, it tastes so good when you put coconut. What is it? Coconut?
Milk? The niyog?
Oh, no, the coconut sprinkles. But it's not. Flakes. Coconut flakes. Yes.
Para sa kuchinta.
I think, kuchinta. Yeah. I love kuchinta. And when you put
Okay. How about the traits? So what are those that you think you still have within you?
I think I'm not the most hospitable person. I'm going to be honest. But I guess I am quite stubborn and resilient when it comes to wanting to achieve something. Because when I do have something to want to achieve, I put as much time and as much... Not just time and hard work. I want to make sure that I do it the most best
Filipinos
way.
Are competitive and hard
workers. Oh my goodness, I'm so competitive.
I think you got that from your Filipino genes.
It's got to be, because there's something about my ego that if I see someone do something that's the same as me, I have to do better than that.
All right. Yeah. Peter, are there instances that you think you had a difficulty, like finding yourself within the Kiwi culture and the Filipino culture?
I think when I was a kid, it was very, very difficult, because I think back then there wasn't many immigrant children. I mean, not immigrant children, but like children that came from, I guess, that is not European in a way. I actually do remember getting bullied a lot in elementary school.
Because of?
I didn't speak English that well, and my accent was very thick.
Okay.
It wasn't physical bullying. It's just like, you know, gossip. Yeah. So I didn't really pay attention that much, because although I did understand them, it wasn't through a pubescent moment in my life. I was still elementary. I didn't know what bullying really was. So I just shrugged it off and played mm-hmm. video games at home.
That's in elementary. How about in high school? Were you able to encounter such circumstances again? And if yes, how were you able to overcome them?
So in middle school, I was bullied. That is a fact. And the way I got through that was adapting to what they enjoy. So they like basketball. I like basketball. I joined the basketball team. I trained to be good at basketball. And they like me. As simple as that. You try to. I think that's what Filipinos are so good at. They just they're so good at adapting with people. I guess they are good at observing and good at seeing social cues. Observing social cues and seeing what they can do to fit in, or if they know that if I can't really join that kind of group, or there's a way to do this, then they will do it, because that's I guess how you survive in a world, I guess, you know, survival of the fittest.
Right.
You try to adapt to your surroundings.
And you know, we have this joke in the Philippines that says, if you're able to survive the Philippines, you will survive anywhere else in the world.
Honestly, that sounds about right, because the Philippines sounds, when I went to the Philippines, it was, I've seen many, many videos where American Filipinos go to the Philippines and they want to go back home. To America.
Because they cannot survive.
They can't stand the heat. They can't stand the humidity.
Yes.
There's no, what is it? In the toilet, they can't flush. Oh my goodness. When I first experienced that, I was like, wait, is this a normal thing? Not to offend anyone or something, but fine. You can call me spoiled, but it's just very different.
Okay. Yeah. Were there any instances that your opinions are not the same with your Filipino parents? Like, are there any circumstances that your ideas vary because of your upbringing, you being here in New Zealand and them in the Philippines?
I think my... Well, I'm still young, so I don't have that much, I guess, adult opinions yet when it comes to like finances or relationships, marriage, and how marriage should go and all that. But I do remember my parents not liking my accent because it was very hard to... Oh, not liking. I think that's hard to understand.
Okay.
Yeah, so they told me to change my accent. Actually, in middle school, that's when, because you know, when you go through puberty, that's when you start to like really become conscious, because you know your hormones are very off the roof, and they're that's when you start to become your environment. In puberty, I think that's when you become what your friends are. I think that's what my parents are really big about, and that's, and an example of that for me was my accent. My accent was very, very Kiwi. It was very similar to I think closer to a Kiwi / Maori accent.
Because
like pronouncing the E
different
way.
Like they're pronouncing it like, if you are in the Philippines, it's an I, it's not letter E. We say connected. And then they say connected.
Yeah,
right?
Or like seven.
The pen, it's peen.
Yeah.
You were adopting that accent.
Unconsciously, yeah. I didn't even realize it until my parents told me about it.
Okay. What is the most important lesson so far that you've learned from them?
My parents?
Yes.
Most important. They teach me so many lessons because they're religious and they teach me lessons all the time. I think the most important lesson is to, I guess, that's a very good question, because my dad, he's the one that does that. He's always teaching me different lessons, but that's when I was crying. So I don't really remember that many lessons, because when he was teaching me some lessons, I was crying because we went, you know, argument and all that. I think the most important lesson my parents gave me in my life that I'm still doing right now is to keep knowing more and keep learning. Because that is how you get to know more people. That's how you can connect to more people. And that's one of the ways of wisdom. Just one of the ways of wisdom. That's not wisdom, but just one of the ways. And when I do learn more, that's when you know that you actually don't know much at all. Yeah.
It's like the more you study, the more you realize that there's so many things that you still don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's I think one of the things that a physics professor said, the more you know about physics, the less you know about physics.
Right. I couldn't agree more. All right. So, Peter, you are already a New Zealand citizen, just like your parents. When somebody comes to you and asks you, are you a Filipino or are you a Kiwi? What is your answer usually?
I'm a Filipino. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. What is it that you are most proud about being a son of Filipino parents?
In university, when they say that, oh, where are you from? What country are you from? Mm-hmm. I say Philippines. And then the first thing they say, many people that I talk to, oh, Filipinos are so funny and I have so many Filipino friends that are funny. Mm-hmm. And or is that, it's not a paraphrase, but it's something like in the words of, Filipinos are funny and Filipinos are very friendly people. Mm-hmm. So we Filipinos have a great reputation here in New Zealand. It doesn't matter if it's a Kiwi that's saying that. Mm-mm. Or an Indian that's Chinese. Mm-hmm. Or some Middle Eastern person. Filipinos have a good reputation of being friendly and hospitable and very, I guess, extroverted. I think is one of the words.
Very sociable.
But yeah, very sociable. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. If you're given the chance to talk to your parents when they were just starting here in New Zealand, what would you tell them?
Oh my goodness. I actually had dreams about this. Okay. If my parents came here to New Zealand and they've already settled and I was maybe what? I guess 10 years old. Let's say 10 years old. Mm-hmm. The first thing I say to them is to invest into Bitcoin. 2012, 2011. Invest into Bitcoin, mom and dad. But no, in all seriousness, I think the best advice I could give my parents was to do Bible studies every night. Mm-hmm. Not every night, but ask me to go to their room and just read the Bible.
Okay.
Because I think reading was a very big problem for me because in middle school, it wasn't the most educative environment in terms of, I did not even read a book in middle school. Mm-hmm. And middle school lost it for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think if I did read a book, my life would be very different right now because I think reading is one of the most, and probably is the most important skill you can have right now in this day and age, since everyone's not really reading anymore.
Everyone's scrolling. Almost everyone doesn't read anymore
because they don't pick up books.
Yes,
like they did before.
It's more on social media now, you know, doom scrolling.
That's right.
They said where you don't get that much anyway. Can you remember any sacrifices that your parents made that now that you are an adult already, you better understand? Like, their struggles probably when you were younger, and maybe that time you don't understand much, but now that you are at that age, you're 22, Peter?
That's right.
And now you understand, oh, that's why. Like, you fully grasp those sacrifices now, and you fully understand why the struggles.
I think, well, obviously, I don't have a wife and a kid, but I can see that the biggest sacrifice they had to commit to me and my brother Paul was time. It sounds cliche and obvious, but I'm sure that when my mom was working, they just came here, and I think they've told you this story where they weren't allowed to work, I think, and they just spent their whole time trying to find work and penning out their resumes and the most humble thing I've
available.
Heard. Yeah, they're very humble and they sacrifice their pride and their time just to live in this country that they know that, actually they didn't know, they just trusted in God actually, which is probably very, very noble of them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see that at first because all I did was playing video games and just living that life of a typical spoiled brat and that lived in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that they were doing so many things in the background when it comes to paperwork,
mm-hmm.
and then just manual labor work mm-hmm. that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that they were doing it at their age, I think they mm-hmm. were like, what, 36 or mm-hmm. something around mm-hmm. that age,
mm-hmm.
manual labor, it's I can't imagine doing that if I was in their situation. They were really putting it,
mm-hmm.
they sacrificed the time,
mm-hmm.
they sacrificed their body, their effort, their sleep,
mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah, and that's with having kids as well. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you have to make sure your kid is happy, and that is hard.
Okay, what is the most beautiful thing that was given to you being a son of Filipino migrants?
I think living in an environment that doesn't have lots of, I don't want to say crime, but lots of, when I went to the Philippines, there's mm-hmm. so much noise, there's so much unpredictableness in the Philippines. But mm-hmm. when you come here in New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
there's a higher chance of knowing what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day.
Mm.
In the Philippines, I don't think there's... I think in the Philippines is a lower chance of knowing what's going to happen. You mm-hmm. you know, your dad, your mom, your kid,
mm-hmm.
brother, sibling might get run over by a truck. Or
mm-mm.
someone was recklessly driving and then they crashed into the, I don't know, bus. That I don't know, what's the bus called in the Philippines? The
Jeep.
Jeep, the, yeah,
the,
Jeep.
The Jeep. Yeah.
Yeah, some Jeep problem mm-mm. or maybe... someone stole some stuff, but mm-hmm. in New Zealand, it's almost, not guaranteed, but almost, you know what's going to happen at the end of the day.
Mm, the security.
Yes, security is what you have more in New Zealand rather than in the Philippines. You have security in the Philippines, but mm-hmm. not as much here as in New Zealand.
Yeah, so things are very uncertain in the Philippines.
Yeah, it's,
unfortunately.
Unfortunately, but hopefully in the future it won't be like that anymore. But
hopefully, okay.
Yeah, in summary, it's more safe here in New Zealand.
I couldn't agree more. Anyway, Peter, if you have a message for our young Filipinos who also grew up in other countries, not the Philippines, and sometimes they are like, they don't know their identity because they are torn between being a Filipino and where they grew up. What is your message to them?
Respect your parents, and mm-hmm. even though you might know more,
mm-hmm.
or you might think you know more of the culture or the trends or the things that you do here in New Zealand because you live here and you've been exposed here.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Bible to honor your mother and father,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't say honor your mother and father if they're smarter than you, if they have more wisdom than you.
Mm-hmm.
It just says honor your mother and father. Period. So even if you do get to know more, or are expanding in knowledge,
mm-hmm.
which you probably won't because you were born after your parents,
yes.
you still have to honor your mother and father. And in a society that's very different to what your mother and father went through, I think it's a good way, good conversation starter to talk to them about, this is what I'm doing here. What did they do in the Philippines
mm-hmm.
compared to here?
Wow.
And to talk to your parents a lot.
Honor your father and your mother, period.
Yeah.
Very powerful statement, Peter. Anyway, so this is the last question for you. In your heart, what does it mean to be a Filipino?
To be a Filipino is to put 100% to everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And even when your friends or your coworkers
mm-hmm.
or people you look up to are not doing that, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it means. That's how you got. That's how we got the reputation of being
mm-hmm.
very hospitable, sociable,
mm-mm.
and very, very, very good nurses. Very good workers in general.
Yes,
that's. I think being a Filipino is a very important aspect of someone who's Filipino to be proud of.
Mm.
Because there's a reason why we have a good reputation. Our history is very rich.
Mm-hmm.
We've come through slavery.
Mm-mm.
And I think now that we know this,
mm-hmm.
what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
I think the next step now is to learn how to be leaders,
mm-hmm.
rather than just people who just work.
Right.
Because now I see lots of Filipinos, Filipinas just working just for the sake of it, mm-hmm. just to provide. But I'm sure there's more to life than that.
Right.
Mm-mm. And I think they should raise their children,
mm-hmm.
now that they're immigrant children,
mm-mm.
raise their children to become leaders,
mm-mm.
rather than just
workers.
Yeah,
right.
Of course,
I agree.
You start as a worker, of course.
Mm-mm.
Make your kid understand humbleness,
mm-hmm.
and then teach them how to be gentle,
mm-hmm.
and then from gentleness, carry that gentleness to become a gentle leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think these days, especially with this kind of changes in the globe and so mm-hmm. much mm-hmm. drama, I think we need someone or some people to have voices,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Filipino community.
Mm-mm. Thank you so much, Peter. I enjoyed, you know, listening to you. I've got a lot of takeaways as well with how you are viewing things. And I'm just honored that you gave time for the show to be here,
yeah.
and to talk about you being Filipino, even if you are in New Zealand, proudly Filipino. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't have any dramatic stories or some chicas or some like, wow, what happened? No, I don't have any. I'm still young. I haven't experienced any of those yet.
But thank you so much, Peter. And again, sana po mga kaibigan, meron kayong natutunan sa amin pong pinag-usapan at katulad ko ay na-enjoy nyo din ang pag-uusap na ito. Hanggang sa susunod na linggo, tayo po ay magsama-sama. So, nakausap po ngayon si Peter De La Fuente. Thank you so much, everyone. Gladi mabini po ito. Hanggang sa muli. Bye-bye!
Bye!
Ilang ulit mo nang itinatanong sa akin kung hanggang saan. Saan, hanggang kailan magtatagal ang aking pagmamahal? Hanggang may himig pa akong naririnig dito sa ating daigdig? Hanggang may musika akong tinataglay, kita'y iniibig.
Connect.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.